We're starting chapter 27 of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, called Padfoot Returns. One of the best things about the aftermath of the second task was that everybody was very keen to hear details of what had happened down in the lake, which meant Ron was getting to share Harry's limelight for once. Harry noticed that Ron's version of events changed subtly with every retelling. At first, he gave what seemed to be the truth. It tallied with Hermione's story, anyway. Dumbledore had put all the hostages into a bewitched sleep in Professor McGonagall's office, first assuring them that they would be quite safe, and would awake when they were back above water. 1 week later, however, Ron was telling a thrilling tale of kidnap in which he struggled single-handedly against 50 heavily armed merpeople who had to beat him into submission before tying him up. "But I had my wand hidden up my sleeve," he assured Padma Patil, who seemed to be a lot keener on Ron now that he was getting so much attention and was making a point of talking to him every time they passed in the corridors. "I could have taken those mare idiots any time I wanted." "What were you going to do, snore at them?" said Hermione waspishly. People had been teasing her so much about being the thing that Victor Crumb would miss most that she was in a rather tetchy mood. "Wouldn't that be cool?"
I know.
I guess she liked them. But I guess she likes Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Ron's ears went red, and thereafter he reverted to the bewitched sleep version of events. As they entered March, the weather became drier, but cruel winds skinned their hands and faces every time they went out into the grounds. There were delays in the post because owls kept being blown off course. The brown owl that Harry had sent to Sirius with the dates of the Hogsmeade weekend turned up at breakfast on Friday morning with half its feathers sticking up the wrong way. Harry had no sooner torn off Sirius's reply than it took flight, clearly afraid to be sent outside again. Sirius's letter was almost as short as the previous one. "Be at Style, at the end of the road, out of Hogsmeade, past Dervish and Bangs, at 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. Bring as much food as you can."
Aww.
"He hasn't come back to Hogsmeade," said Ron incredulously. It looks like it, doesn't it?" said Hermione. "I can't believe it," said Harry tensely. "If he gets caught..." "Made it so far, though, hasn't he?" said Ron. "And it's not like this place is swarming with Dementors anymore." Harry folded up the letter, thinking. If he was honest with himself, he really wanted to see Sirius again. He therefore approached the final lesson of the afternoon, double potions, feeling considerably more cheerful than he usually did when descending the steps to the dungeons. Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle were standing in a huddle outside the classroom door with Pansy Parkinson's gang of Slytherin girls. All of them were looking at something Harry couldn't see and snickering heartily. Pansy's pug-like face peered excitedly around Goyle's broad back as Harry, Ron, and Hermione approached.
There they are,
she giggled, and the knot of Slytherins broke apart. Harry saw that Pansy had a magazine in her hand, Witch Weekly. The moving picture on the front showed a curly-haired witch who was smiling toothily and pointing at a large sponge cake with her wand. "You might find something in there to interest you, Granger," Pansy said loudly, and she threw the magazine at Hermione, who caught it looking startled. At that moment, the dungeon door opened and Snape beckoned them all inside. Hermione, Harry, and Ron headed for a table at the back of the dungeon, as usual. Once Snape had turned his back on them to write up the ingredients of today's potion on the blackboard, Hermione hastily rifled through the magazine under the desk. At last, in the center pages, Hermione found what they were looking for. Harry and Ron leaned in closer. A color photograph of Harry headed a short piece entitled, "Harry Potter's Secret Heartache." "A boy like no other, perhaps, yet a boy suffering all the usual pangs of adolescence," writes Rita Skeeter. "Deprived of love since the tragic demise of his parents, 14-year-old Harry Potter thought he had found solace in his steady girlfriend at Hogwarts, Muggleborn Hermione Granger. Little did he know he would be shortly suffering yet another emotional blow in a life already littered with personal loss. Miss Granger, a plain but ambitious girl, seems to have a taste for famous wizards that Harry alone cannot satisfy. Since the arrival at Hogwarts of Victor Crumb, Bulgarian seeker and hero of the last Quidditch World Cup, Miss Granger has been toying with both boys' affection. Crumb, who is openly smitten with the devious Miss Granger, has already invited her to visit him in Bulgaria over the summer holidays, and insists that he has never felt this way about any other girl. However, it might not be Miss Granger's doubtful natural charms that have captured those unfortunate boys' interest. "She's really ugly," says Pansy Parkinson, a pretty and vivacious fourth-year student. "But she'd be well to making a love potion, because she's quite brainy. I think that's how she's doing it." Love potions are, of course, banned at Hogwarts, and no doubt Albus Dumbledore will want to investigate these claims. In the meantime, Harry Potter's well-wishers must hope that next time he bestows his heart on a worthier candidate. "I told you," Ron hissed at Hermione, as she stared down at the article. "I told you not to annoy Rita Skeeter. She's made you out to be some sort of Scarlet Woman."
I would have been like, huh.
Hermione stopped looking astonished and snorted with laughter.
"Good.
Scarlet Woman," she repeated, shaking with suppressed giggles as she looked around at Ron. "It's what my mum calls them," Ron muttered, his ears going red. "If that's the best Rita can do, she's losing her touch," said Hermione, still giggling, as she threw Witch Weekly onto the empty chair beside her. "What a pile of old rubbish." She looked over at the Slytherins, who were all watching her and Harry closely across the room to see if they had been upset by the article. Hermione gave them a sarcastic smile and a wave, and she, Harry, and Ron started unpacking the ingredients they would need for their wit-sharpening potion. "There's something funny, though," said Hermione 10 minutes later, holding her pestle suspended over a bowl of scarab beetles. "How would Rita Skeeter have known?" "Known what?" said Ron quickly. "You haven't been mixing up love potions, have you?" "Don't be stupid," said Hermione, and starting to pound up her beetles again. "No, it's just, how did she know Victor asked me to visit him over the summer?" Hermione blushed scarlet as she said this and determinedly avoided Ron's eyes. "What?" said Ron, dropping his pestle with a loud clunk. "He asked me right after he pulled me out of the lake," Hermione muttered, "after he'd gotten rid of his shark's head. Madame Pomfrey gave us both blankets, and then he sort of pulled me away from the judges so they wouldn't hear, and he said, if I wasn't doing anything over the summer, would I like to?" "And what did you say?" said Ron, who had picked up his pestle and was grinding it over his desk, a good 6 inches from the bowl, because he was looking at Hermione. "And he did say he'd never felt the same way about anyone else," Hermione went on, going so red now that Harry could almost feel the heat coming from her. "Ooh. But how could Rita Skeeter have heard him? She wasn't there. Or was she? Maybe she has gotten an invisibility cloak. Maybe she sneaked onto the grounds to watch the second task." "And what did you say?" Ron repeated, pounding his pestle down so hard that it dented the desk. "Well, I was too busy seeing whether you and Harry were okay to..." "Fascinating, though your social life undoubtedly is, Miss Granger," said an icy voice right beside them, and all three of them jumped. "I must ask you not to discuss it in my class." 10 points from Gryffindor.
Oh, Snape. Get a fucking life.
Snape.
He needs to get laid, like, so bad.
Well, he's in love with a dead married woman.
Yeah, that's why he needs to get... He needs to fucking move on and get laid with a real woman. Who would actually find him attractive.
We should also take showers.
Yeah. Do something about that hair, Snape. You are a potions master, after all.
Exactly.
Dude, like, if you're a potions master, you could be, like... He could be such a player. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you're not supposed to mix love potions.
No. I mean, like... He could make, like, tonics to make his hair look all, like, awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And, like... Like,
I'm sure he could, but I bet he'd think that's stupid. I bet he'd think that's just what, like, James Potter would do, right?
It's more of, like, you know, you didn't know about things.
Yeah, I don't think Snape is quite like that.
No.
Maybe he is, I don't know. You know, he should be with, what's her name?
No. Rita Skeeter?
No.
Bellatrix
Lestrange? No. The Seer. What's her name?
Madame Trelawney?
Yeah.
No, she's like... No.
No, because of Love Actually.
Oh. Yeah, but he wasn't nice to her.
No, he wasn't. He didn't... Well, he sort of cheated.
He emotionally cheated on her.
Emotionally cheated, yeah.
He would have cheated on her.
Would you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was, like, ready to cheat on her.
Was he?
Yeah. Why else would he have bought her a necklace?
I don't think he really knew.
Yes, he did. He knew. He knew exactly where it was going. That's why it was exciting for him.
Yeah, maybe.
She's like, we're doing dark deeds, and then...
She's stupid. I love you so much.
Why?
Because you hate her. She's such a good person to hate.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
She's so horrible. Mm. I hate, like, ugh, I don't like anything about her. Yep. She makes me mad at Alan, and he's so bright.
Yeah. He's just an actor. Think of him as Colonel, what's his name? The captain. In that movie.
That's the question.
No. In the Jane Austen movie.
Oh, yes. Colonel.
He's a colonel, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was Sense and Sensibility, right?
Mm-hmm. I love him in that.
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Snape had glided over to the desk.
Oh, question.
Yes.
Do you think that Emma Thompson is cute?
You know, she's...
You probably think she's more just talented.
Yeah, I mean, she's all right looking. I mean, she's not bad looking.
Mm-hmm.
She's... And she's interesting enough looking that she's... I would...
Kind of cute.
Yeah, but like, you know, not...
That's not her best
part. Yeah. Anyway, Snape had glided over to their desk while they were talking. The whole class was now looking around at them. Malfoy took the opportunity to read Potter Stinks... To flash Potter Stinks across the dungeon at Harry. Reading magazines under the table as well, Snape added, snatching up a copy of Witch Weekly. Well, but of course, Snape's black eyes glittered as they fell on Rita Skeeter's article. Potter has to keep up with his press cuttings. The dungeon rang with Slytherin's laughter. And an unpleasant smile curled Snape's thin mouth. To Harry's fury, he began to read the article aloud.
Mm.
Harry Potter's secret heartache. Dear, dear Potter, what's ailing you now? A boy like no other, perhaps. Harry could feel like...
See, this is the thing, though. Like, Snape is being such a fucking dick.
Yep.
Like, if he had a real life and he could, like... move on. It just, like, he's just, like, playing into those guys who made fun of his hand, like, their hands, because he's proving them that, through them, that he's pathetic and that he, like, deserves to have been, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he needs to rise above it. It's terrible.
Yep. Harry could feel his face burning. Snape was pausing at the end of every sentence to allow the Slytherins a hearty laugh. The article sounded 10 times worse when read by Snape. Even Hermione was blushing scarlet now. Harry Potter's well-wishers must hope that next time he bestows his heart upon a worthier candidate. How very touching, sneered Snape, rolling up the magazine to continued gales of laughter from
also,
the Slytherins.
Also, like, doesn't he know that Harry didn't grow up famous, that he grew up with a horrible childhood?
Yeah, I don't think he cares.
Stupid. Snape is dumb.
Yep. Well, I think I had better separate the three of you so you can keep your minds on your potions rather than untangle the love lives. Weasley, you stay here. Miss Granger over there besides Miss Parkinson. Potter, that table in front of my desk. Move. Now. Furious, Harry threw his ingredients and his bag into his cauldron, dragged it up to the front of the dungeon to the empty table. Snape followed, sat at his desk, and watched Harry unload his cauldron. Determined not to look at Snape, Harry resumed the mashing of his scarab beetles, imagining each one to have Snape's face. All this press attention seems to have inflated your already overlarge head, Potter, Snape said quietly, once the rest of the class had settled down again. Harry didn't answer. He knew Snape was trying to provoke him. He had done this before. No doubt he was hoping for an excuse to take around 50 points from Gryffindor before the end of class. You might be laboring under the delusion that the entire wizarding world is impressed with you, Snape went on, so quietly that nobody could hear him.
Harry continued to pound his scarab beetles, even though he had already reduced them to a very fine powder. But I don't care how many times your picture appears in the papers. To me, Potter, you are nothing but a nasty little boy who considers rules beneath him. Harry tipped the powdered beetles into his cauldron and started cutting up his ginger roots. His hands were shaking slightly out of anger. But he kept his eyes down, as though he couldn't hear what Snape was saying. "So I give you fair warning, Potter," Snape continued in a softer and more dangerous voice. "Pint-sized celebrity or not, if I catch you breaking into my office one more time..." "I haven't been anywhere near your office," said Harry angrily, forgetting his feigned deafness. "Don't lie to me," Snape hissed, his fathomless black eyes boring into Harry's. "Boomslang skin, gillyweed, both come from my private stores, and I know who stole them." Harry stared back at Snape, determined not to blink or to look guilty. In truth, he hadn't stolen either of those things from Snape. Hermione had taken the boomslang skin back in their second year. They had needed it for the polyjuice potion. And while Snape suspected Harry at the time, he'd never been able to prove it. Dobby, of course, had stolen the gillyweed.
"I don't know what you're talking about," Harry lied coldly. "You were out of bed on the night my office was broken into," Snape hissed.
"I know it, Potter. Now, Madame Moody might have joined your fan club, but I will not tolerate your behavior. One more nighttime stroll into my office, Potter, and you will pay."
"Right," said Harry coolly, turning back to his ginger roots. "I'll bear that in mind if I ever get the urge to go in there." Snape's eyes flashed. He plunged a hand into the inside of his black robes. For one wild moment, Harry thought Snape was about to pull out his wand and curse him. Then he saw Snape had drawn a small crystal bottle of a completely clear potion. Harry stared at it.
"Do you know what this is, Potter?" Snape said, his eyes glittering dangerously again.
"No," said Harry, with complete honesty this time. "It is Veritaserum, a truth potion so powerful that 3 drops would have you spilling your innermost secrets for this entire class to hear. Now, the use of this potion is controlled by very strict ministry guidelines. But unless you watch your step, you might just find that my hand slips." He shook the crystal bottle slightly. "Right over your evening pumpkin juice. And then, Potter, then we'll find out whether you've been in my office or not." Harry said nothing. He turned back to his ginger root once more, picked up his knife, and started slicing them again. He didn't like the sound of that truth potion at all, nor would he put it past Snape to slip him some. He repressed a shudder at the thought of what might come spilling out of his mouth if Snape did it. Quite apart from winding a whole lot of people in trouble, Hermione and Dobby for a start. There were all the other things he was concealing, like the fact he was in contact with Sirius, and his inside squirmed at the thought how he felt about Cho. You know, seriously, I would be more concerned about Sirius than Cho.
Mm-hmm.
He tipped his ginger roots into the cauldron, too, and wondered whether he had to take a leaf out of Moody's book and start drinking only from his private hip flask. There was a knock on the dungeon door. "Enter," said Snape in his usual voice. Class looked around and the door opened. Professor Karkaroff came in. Everyone watched him as he walked up to Snape's desk. He was twisting his finger around his goatee and looking agitated.
"We need to talk," he said abruptly when he reached Snape.
He seemed so determined that nobody should hear what he was saying that he was barely opening his lips. It was as though he were rather poor ventriloquist. Harry kept his eyes on his ginger roots, listening hard. "I'll talk to you after my lesson, Karkaroff," Snape muttered, but Karkaroff interrupted him. "I want to talk to you now. Well, you can't slip off, Severus. You've been avoiding me."
"After the lesson," Snape snapped.
Under the pretense of holding up a measuring cup to see if he'd poured out enough armadillo bile, Harry sneaked a sidelong glance at the pair of them. Karkaroff looked extremely worried, and Snape looked angry. Karkaroff hovered behind Snape's desk for the rest of the double period. He seemed intent on preventing Snape from slipping away. Keen to hear what Karkaroff wanted to say, Harry deliberately knocked over his bottle of armadillo bile 2 minutes to go before the bell, which gave him an excuse to duck down behind his cauldron and mop up while the rest of the class moved noisily to the door. "What's so urgent?" he heard Snape hiss at Karkaroff. "This," Karkaroff said, and Harry, peering around at the end of his cauldron, saw Karkaroff pull off the left-hand sleeve of his robe and show Snape something on his inner forearm. "Well," said Karkaroff, making every effort not to move his lips. "You see, it's never been this clear, never since." "Put it away," snarled Snape, his black eyes sweeping the classroom. "But you must have noticed," Karkaroff began in an agitated voice. "We can talk later, Snape." Said Karkaroff, spat Snape. "Potter, what are you doing?" "Cleaning up my armadillo bile, Professor," said Harry innocently, straightening up and showing Snape the sodden rag he was holding. Karkaroff turned on his heel and strode out of the dungeon. He looked both worried and angry. Not wanting to remain alone with an exceptionally angry Snape, Harry threw his books and ingredients back into his bag and left at top speed to tell Ron and Harry, Hermione what he had just witnessed. I think we'll stop there, Boo. I hope you like that kitten. I love you so much. It's bedtime. Sleep well.